The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side of the county, and joining us on a day that is a bit of an audible in keeping with the football analogies. Normally on Fridays in the 8 o'clock hour for the Michigan football breakdown, since we won't be on the air coming up this Friday, we asked him if he would move things up to Wednesday. So we got to get that football breakdown fix in. He was happy to oblige, talking about our guy,
Silver Fox,
expert insider, one Mr. Joe Simon. Joe, how you doing?
It's good to be with you guys. It was nice to be able to join you early, but a little bit less film because I had to change the schedule. But good to be with you and happy to talk some football.
Before we jump into the football breakdown, Joe, tell folks about the law offices of Joseph A. Simon.
Sam, we're right across the street from Michigan Football Stadium. We handle all criminal defense needs in Washtenaw County and all surrounding counties. Anything from misdemeanor to felony, nothing too big, nothing too small. Traffic offenses up through serious homicide offenses. You can find us at themichigandefenders.com, themichigandefenders.com.
All right. So, Joe, obviously, Michigan escaped. I think that's a good way to put it. Escaped with a victory when it seemed like the chips were down. I mean, down 17. I mean, just you look at it, you see the score, you see 17-0, you think, man, can they dig out of this hole? They do. They fight all the way back, take the lead, seemingly have the game won in regulation, but then Rutgers goes down the field, ties it up, sends it to overtime. Michigan misses a field goal, and it's on Wisconsin to make it, to win it. They miss it. Of course, Michigan capitalizes on that mistake. And, of course, like I said, they were able to pull out that victory on the road at Rutgers. I know it's Rutgers, but for this team, Joe, I think it was a big deal.
It was vitally important, Sam, but you know, you used a good word. I'll use the word survive instead of escape. How different the narrative would have been, Sam, had we had that comeback down 17 points and closed the game in regulation. How different the narrative would have been. And I think that was unfortunate. And then the way we won in overtime, you know, I think people are kind of forgetting this point, you know, without a pass interference call on 3rd and 18, in addition to the missed field goals in overtime, I don't know that we would have pulled that out. But ultimately, you're right. That's a W, a vital W. And there were some good things in that game. But I wished it had closed out in a way that the players could have really made a nice carryover by closing it out in regulation, but that just didn't happen. We'll talk about a little bit why.
Bro, listen, for this team, Joe, they needed a W.
Yes.
I don't care how sloppy, how ugly, who it was against, a win against someone was just what the doctor ordered. Now, what it means from here remains to be seen, but I feel like they found some things in that game, and I'm curious if you came away after seeing all of the things that they definitely have to improve upon, and there were many, if you saw anything that you think they found that would be applicable moving forward in this contest.
Definitely. You know, in the countdown to kickoff, Sam, we talked about what I thought were two position groups that really needed to step up in this game, that being the receivers and the linebackers. And although we can't say that there was a perfect game by either group, I can say we saw each of those groups really step up, especially after McGrone went down. Ross did not have a perfect game by any stretch, but he had his best game. You could not challenge – well, I don't think anyone could seriously challenge his effort in that game. He took it to another level. You know, when we were down and punched in the mouth, it would have been easy for them to quit, but they didn't. Not only did McNamara bring some spark to the team, but there was a lot of effort going on all sides of the ball. Another thing we talked about in the countdown to kickoff was how can the coaches help get the running game open? And there was a diverse playbook. That was the most diverse playbook offensively we've seen so far this season. We talked about specifically in the countdown to kickoff how to create better mismatches in our running game with our young offensive line. And I thought the coaches actually did a great look. We've seen things we haven't seen. We saw an actual screen pass to a back. We saw a real screen pass. I think that's the first one that was toward the end of the first half to Corum. I think it's first one this season. Traps, draws, lots of good things that create some mismatches for us. And also on speaking of the receivers, rubs. I put on the website today, Sam, some rub routes. We ran a lot of them. Slants, rubs. These are things that I think really represented some effort by the coaches too, and it allowed us to really get loose a little bit.
All right, so let's get into your breakdown, folks. The MichiganDefenders.com. Again, the MichiganDefenders.com. You go to Joe's website, you click that video link, and up comes the menu of videos for the week, Mr. Simon. So where are we going to start?
I'm going to start with the defense. I'm going to start with some of the negative things. This one's called wrong place, wrong time, Sam. And there were a number of third and longs that were converted against our defense. In fact, perhaps the most crucial play was a fourth and long. But a number of third and longs. This one is in the second quarter. They're up 14-0. It's about they have the ball on their 34, actually. And this is not a great passing quarterback. We come out in man, and, you know, we have been doing so many more things with our defense, so many more zone coverages. But, you know, we talk, Sam, about not putting these guys in bad positions because they're just not going to be that kind of group. And I just seem like the timing of when we called this type of defense was just the exact wrong time. Going through the play, we're in man coverage, not only man, but we're in press man. We have both linebackers pre-snap up on the ball. One linebacker comes, Ross drops off on snap. This is for people who can't see it, the quarterback draw that goes for a very long gain. And in addition to the defense we're running, we really don't have good angles. And essentially, I phrase it that we have a huge lane that is open. You could say Ross could have taken a better angle and that he should have been there. I would agree with that statement. The point, though, and you could say that Hawkins should have gotten off of his block, and I would agree with that, too. The point is, I didn't see the need for doing this in this game situation at that time. And that's a conversation that you and I have unfortunately had a lot over the years, Sam.
Yeah, 3rd and 15, man coverage for a team that has been stressed in that way. Hey, look, it's a great play call for them to call a draw play on that. You know, not as many eyes as you would like to see. You're right; it wound up being a huge run lane. This is one where I agree. It just seemed to be a little too aggressive for the particular play.
And now, Sam, I'm going to go over to about 5-6 minutes later in the first half. This is the end of the first half. This is called Do It or Don't. Staying on the theme of coaching and curious things, this is something that, you know, a lot of people, including me, kind of went nuts in the Twitter sphere during the game. This is the on our second down play, or maybe it was a first down play, we have 37 seconds at the end of the play left in the first half.
Which one is this?
This is called Do It or Don't.
Gotcha.
And the telestration in this, Sam, is on the clock. So I start with the all being on the ground, and we're watching 37, 36, and the clock is going down, down, down. Players looking back to the sideline. At the 30-second mark, we have Coach Harbaugh walking, not running, walking toward the referee, and in my view, make a casual call for a timeout at 28 seconds. That's nearly 10 seconds that went off the clock. Here's what bothered me about that. Game situation, you got to be prepared for that ahead of time. Situational football. You're knowing if you're calling a timeout before the play, not after the play. Do it or don't. If you've decided, hey, let's take this into the half, fine. I may not agree with that decision, but at least that's a coach's decision. That indecision there ended up really costing. Now, we end up with a bad snap and a missed field goal. We'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But the reason I put that up there is do it or don't. If you're going to do it, that had to be done 10 seconds, almost a full 10 seconds earlier.
Yeah, look, it's the time management in end of half or end of game situations. I guess the one that really comes to mind was Michigan State, where the issues with the time, the clock management, left a lot to be desired. This is certainly another example.
But Sam, so it's unfortunately a continued example. And really, that's the point of putting it up there. And I'm glad you referenced Michigan State. This is just, you know, if we're talking about player confusion and effort, you know, it seems that that's got to go from top to bottom, in my view. And that to me is the most troubling thing, is the indecision and that it wasn't situationally decided ahead of time. Sam, I also want to move over to the last sort of negative play before I talk about some very positive things. This is what could have been. Now, this is their two-point conversion, and I just want to talk about it. The film clip is called What Could Have Been. This is the end of regulation, their two-point conversion. The previous play, they convert on a 4th and 9. We're in a zone defense, and I got to tell you something, Sam. There was nothing wrong with that defense from a schematic point in my view. We rushed only 3, but we had someone almost get home and make a sack. And then they just made a nice freaking football play. Sorry to say it that way, but that was just great. And they score. But when they come up for the 2-point conversion, it's interesting. They came to the line. We were showing zone coverage. They call timeout. They go to the sideline. We come back, and now we're in man coverage. I don't mind that we changed from zone to man, but what I do mind is what we did on this play. Then I telestrate this a little bit. Keep in mind, we've already been burned by a quarterback draw earlier. I'm not saying that we should all know there's going to be a quarterback draw, but here's what we do on the defense. When we move over with their small motion, Ross takes a very, I don't know if this is his choice or design angle, but he comes out on the outside. That's his rush lane here. And he's coming on snap. There's no one in the middle of the field linebacker-wise. We've got a D-back here. But what we end up with is now we have players way out of position, over pursuit. And a lot of people thought on first view of this play that we made contact, good contact in the backfield and stopped that. I actually don't think we got a clean strike there. What bothered me is the essential wall that we allowed to be created, and that's kind of, I drew a line across that for people who can see it, that we were just really, in my view, way out of position for the play that allowed him to get through. I don't think we had a full clean shot on him, and this to me was the unfortunate part. You can't be perfect on every play, but in terms of, you're right, we desperately needed a W. But how different this narrative would have been if we had overcome a 17-point deficit and then scored, at the end of the game and then closed it out. It's unfortunate, but that's how that happened.
Yeah, I think that your defensive end got way too far inside and really made his gap too wide on that play. I think that, you know, Ross was supposed to come where he came. And it just left a huge hole when the defensive end on that play, who was supposed to go inside, went way too far inside, or who was supposed to slide over a gap, when he went way too far inside, made that gap wider than it need to be for the quarterback to run through. But here's the thing. We need to go through the rest of these plays. We have to call. I'm calling timeout. You say do it or don't. Do it or don't. I'm doing it right now, Joe. And I'm calling the timeout. The second half of the breakdown will come up on Saturday on the KeyBank Countdown to Kickoff, where we'll get into some of these positive plays, some of the rub plays that you highlight that they came up with in key situations, the conversion to Chris Evans, the touchdown to Mikey Sainristal. You hit them both, and maybe that's the thing that they'll be able to draw on. Joe, I got to tell you, before we let you go, have a happy and safe holiday, my man. A happy and safe Thanksgiving. Been a tough, tough year. You've been with us through it. And glad to have you back on the breakdown, Brett. Glad to have you back on the KeyBank Countdown to Kickoff.
Listen, I very much appreciate that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I wanted to make sure I had time to say that, too. It's always my real great pleasure to be with you guys. You guys do an amazing job, especially in difficult circumstances. And it's really my pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm going to leave one carryover thought for the listeners, and then we'll talk about in the Countdown to Kickoff. Regarding the clip that everyone's talking about on Nordin and the expletives that he may or may not have been saying, here's the question to carry over to Saturday. How would Bo Schembechler have handled that in the aftermath? We'll talk about that on Saturday.
Gotcha. All right, Joe. Thanks a lot for your time, my man. Appreciate it.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Joe Simon from the law offices of Joseph A. Simon. You can find his offices right across the street from the big house. You can find him online at themichigandefenders.com. On the other side, you can find us talking some Michigan hockey as they continue this impressive start to the season, as these freshmen continue to look unfreshman-like in their wizardry so far. We're going to talk to Michigan hockey coach Mel Pearson on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket.